Hey, what's going on, everybody? Save don't mean soft. Y'all know what it is, Brother J.R. Newsom. I'm back again. I got a very, very, I think it's a normal topic that I think we see all the time as Christians. And it's a question, really. And it's a question is, why is Christianity one of the most disrespected religions? Why? Why is that the case? Why is so many people have issues with Christianity? Well, we'll answer that, but you all know how I do. It's going to be, my perspective may not exactly be the one that you think it is, but we're going to get right to it. Stay with me. All right, I'm back. So look, check this out. So you can go to this day, any social media site, any app, I guess, that social media is common, where people are sharing their posts and their thoughts and opinions, and you will likely see someone disrespecting Christianity in some shape, form, or fashion. You will likely see that. It's just some way someone talking bad about Christianity. And then the question always comes up as to why. Why is it so rampant? Why does it so many people feel the need? Well, first of all, why do they feel it's okay to do that? Like I said, my perspective is different than most people's. You know, I know that I could get on a soapbox and I could defend Christianity and say, hey, you know, this and this and this, you guys, this and this. I can do all that. Or I can just look at it from a perspective of, as a Christian, how we should see it. I think in Christianity, we have to understand that something that's really been lost is taking accountability. And that's a lost aspect of Christianity that I see on a daily basis that many Christians don't take. For example, when you think about, you know, that question of if anyone, let's just take away Christianity right now. I'll take it away, but let's just put this perspective onto just a person, right? So if, you know, my name is Bob, right? So if someone says, I don't like Bob, I just can't stand Bob, it gets on my nerves, right? And a lot of people are talking bad about me. My name is Bob, and everybody's talking bad about me, Bob, right? What should I do? You know, should I A, you know, lash out at everyone, become this recluse and angry and bitter, and just don't like everybody? Or should I start to think, okay, what is the reason? Why are so many people having these issues with me, right? I'm Bob. I'm just, like I said, I'm just hypothetical, right? But if I'm a person that many people are talking bad about, they have bad things to say about me, as a Christian, right, in this situation, my job is to find out, what am I doing? What am I doing to cause anyone, so many people to have these things to say about me? You know, if you got one person, you know, most people know what it's like to be bullied or talked about, right? So if you have, you know, some kid at school picking on you, you know, you typically, you know, this kid may have other people who get involved, right? But at the same time, in those cases, it's them, right? That they are the problem. They are the issue. It is not you if you're the one being picked on or bullied on. But when it comes down to people just, you know, feeling like, you know, you're a bad person or saying bad things about you constantly, and it's multiple people, multiple sources, you have to take accountability and say, what have I added, or what have I portrayed to give the impression that I am the way they're saying? You know, is there any truth to the fact that I'm a bad person? You know, is there any truth to the fact that I'm a jerk? Whatever, right? And I'm not saying that this is not to be confused with, like I said, bullying. I don't want anyone to take that the wrong way. You know, when someone is bullying or picking at you, that is a them issue. It's not a you issue, right? That issue is based, this is that person. But when we're talking about just accountability, if I'm known as the jerk in my office, if I'm known as the jerk, you know, my job, whatever, I need to know what is giving that. What am I doing to get that off? Like, I got to take accountability. And I think that I said all that to say, Christianity, that's my perspective. When I hear so many people disrespect Christianity and talk bad about it, I get frustrated at times because it does feel like you're taking shots at me because I'm a Christian. But at the same time, I have to understand that Christianity is the bride of Christ, right? That is the bride that Jesus Christ laid his life down for. And Jesus Christ is his church, right? So therefore, with Christianity, I have to understand that people who disrespect, they're disrespecting God. They're offending and disrespecting Christ. But at the same time, I also, as a Christian, can look and I can see the reason why so many people feel comfortable doing this. One of the reasons is because there's so many people in the world that make Christ, that take Christianity and they use it as an advantage for themselves. They use Christianity as a weapon. I saw a trailer for a new movie. It was the perfect depiction of this. The trailer is a movie called Civil War. I'm not talking about the old school, 1860s Civil War, right? In the United States, we're talking about a fictional Civil War, modern day. And on the trailer, these people, I guess they're reporters, they go up to a guy who's dressed in military fatigues, and he's a soldier, he looks like. And they say to him, hey, we're Americans. And then the soldier responds, he says, what kind of Americans? When I hear that, that's the exact, to me, reason why Christianity is so disrespected. Because when you say you're Christian, most times the question is, what kind of Christian are you? Right? What kind? Are you this person who's a Christian who spews hatred? Are you a Christian who's unloving? Are you a Christian who's unmerciful? Are you a political Christian? And we know that's the world we live in, where there's a political Christian base, right? Whereas in that Christian base, people put politics on the same level with Christ, and they make it to where, they look at individuals and they look at groups as their base for Christianity. And a lot of times those same people are spewing hatred. They're spewing unloving things to people, right? So you have, a hot topic, immigration. That's a big deal for, just what's going on in this country. And so many people are so, immigrants, illegal immigrants are doing this, blah, blah, blah. When it comes to Christianity, we get this flack because you have people who claim to love Christ and to follow Christ, and their attitude towards an immigrant or attitude towards someone who is not, from here or whatever. That attitude of negativity towards people who are less fortunate, people who are, trying to get away and flee persecution or whatever the case they may be, the negative attitude towards that, or people who are, consider society's low, or they consider, people who, in most senses, they are not accepted in Christian circles, right? The way in Christianity that those people are being treated by people who claim to be Christians is the reason why there are so many people who are freely able to disrespect Christianity, right? Freely. They're freely able to do it. And the scripture tells us in Matthew 24 and 24, it tells us that, it says false messiahs and false prophets will appear and they'll perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, what the scripture is telling us, and we have to understand, is telling us that, kind of what we're seeing now, there are many false prophets that, you're looking around and they are packing coliseums, that are, I guess their churches are huge, I won't say coliseum, but they're huge mega churches where there's just so many, hundreds of thousands probably of people in these congregations. And I'm not talking bad about large congregations. I'm just saying that generally when we see many false prophets, we're seeing them, these people who are, having these mega churches where so many, people, there is giant, huge congregations up. And a lot of times there's a lot of love that's lost. There's a lot of genuine Christianity that's being practiced there. We in Texas, right, where I'm at, we have, sometimes there's flooding in the Houston area, South Texas area. And I can remember one time, a couple of years back, it was a huge flood in the Houston area. And I guess I'm not going to, name no congregations. I'm not trying to get, pull any shots at nobody, point fingers or anything like that, but I'm just calling it what it is, at the same time. There was a congregation, it's a mega church, humongous, big, well-established preacher who was, labeled as, this individual's a prosperity preacher, right? That's what they labeled this individual. But this person was actually, their congregation was turning people away when they were coming to the congregation for shelter. Right? They were turning people away. And we're not talking about because the place was packed to capacity and it was a safety issue. We're talking about they had space, they had room, everybody knows it's a huge, humongous, building, right? And they were turning people away. And things like that, those are reasons why people look at Christianity the way they're doing it now. There are false prophets who take Christianity and they make it to where it's a financial gain. They make it to where it's a a self-serving thing. That is not a loving, it's not a compassionate place of love, a welcoming, inclusive place. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. Churches should be welcoming people in that are considered low in society. You know, you see a prostitute, you know, you can, and you generally can tell what a prostitute looks like. Generally, in most cases, they're, you know, it's kind of obvious. I think if you are, you've lived your life and you can drive down certain areas in city, and you know what the prostitutes typically look like. But sometimes they have moments where they have clarity and they want to come to worship. And what's sad is that sometimes those same individuals will come into a church house, a place of worship, and they'll get people staring at them and looking negative at them and talking things about them. And those are reasons that also are making people say, hey, man, Christianity is not what it's supposed to be. It's not what it's cracked up to be. Right? These are things that we as Christians got to take accountability for and say, look, man, it shouldn't be that way. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be like that. We have to be loving. We got to be compassionate. And I think one of the things with that is that doesn't mean we have to accept a person living in sin. Right? We don't have to accept the idea that this individual is living in sin, but we do have to accept the fact that we're all sinners, right? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Everyone who's listening to this, you guys, we're all sinners, right? So we have to be willing to accept a sinner who wants help, who wants salvation. We have to be willing to accept them, right? And to show them love and compassion that Christ has been preaching and teaching us, right? We have to understand that's what Christianity is supposed to look like, right? That's what it's supposed to look like. It's not supposed to look like, you know, this good old boys club where you reject people who are less than, right? Or people who are not considered, you know, I guess, okay. You know, I don't know. I know that congregation I grew up in as a kid, you know, it was in North Tulsa, East Virgin Street Church of Christ. It was a small congregation in what many people call the hood. I mean, it was gangbangers, dope dealers, prostitutes, crackheads, honestly, all of them. It was all there, all around the area. And, you know, we often had individuals come in there, you know, people who were not considered what your typical church goer. You know, we had gangbangers come in there sometimes. We had, you know, prostitutes, drug addicts. They would come in there, you know, and, you know, because of the area we lived in and the area that we were in, I think it was kind of more understood when those individuals came in. So they didn't get a lot of negative stares. But I can't say at times they did not have some people look at them, you know, kind of weird. And with that, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, overall, those people were welcomed, you know, when they would come into that our small congregation in Tulsa at the time. But I know that what's happening all over in the masses is that, you know, we have this idea of what a churchgoer should look like or should be like, and we lose sight of what Christ was trying to teach us, you know, when he was working with those who were not under Jewish law considered acceptable, right? You know, the adulterous woman, we know about that, and tax collectors. These are people that the Jews did not associate with, but Christ was trying to show them that if you believe in him, you are accepted in him. If you believe, you're baptized, if you become a Christian, you are accepted. Christ is trying to make people understand. And we say, well, Jesus wasn't a Christian. Well, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't have to be a Christian. I mean, come on, let's think about it. If you if you are a person, Jesus started, you know, he died for Christianity. He is, that's what a church is based off, to be Christ-like. Christians are following Jesus Christ. You know, so not to get off onto a, you know, digress, but, you know, that comes up a lot. And people say, well, Jesus wasn't a Christian. You know, Jesus was a Jew, of course. And Jesus was brought on earth to fulfill the impossible law, right? The impossible law of Moses. It was impossible for regular humans to live up to that. Jesus was there to fulfill that and nail it to the cross and usher up Christianity, as we see in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost. But these are things, you know, it's not to digress, but I just want to make sure that we stay in the mindset of what we as Christians should take from the idea that we're so disrespected as a religion, right? As Christians, we're so disrespected. But I just want us to think about and be account, take accountability as to why, You know, why does it seem it's acceptable? Because so many of people who claim to wear our Christian moniker, right, our brand, there's so many people who are misusing that, and they are hurting people and causing pain and irreparable damage, and they're doing it in the name of Christ. You know, they're getting political and making politics and church line up when those two have nothing in common, right? Jesus said, he told us, let Caesar's, whatever's give to Caesar was his. But, you know, for me, you know, my church is my church. Jesus was making it pretty clear to us that there's a distinction there, you know. Yeah, follow the law of the land, right? Obey the law. But at the same time, I'm the church. Jesus is making that very clear, and we have to really pay attention to that. But too many times in our common society, we have people who have made their identity be a hybrid of politics and religion, and that is driving people away in record numbers. The church will never fall, right? Never will fall, because Christ is all powerful, of course. But at the same time, a lot of people are being turned away because of so much negativity, and that's giving them the confidence to disrespect the church, because honestly, they're hurt. A lot of them are hurt. They turn to other things that are acceptable, things that are welcoming to them, and a lot of those things are of Satan, right? Those things. Well, in fact, let's look at it this way. Anything that's opposite of the church is not of God. So let's leave it like that. Anything opposite of Christianity, a religion that's not Christianity, it's not of Christ. It's not of God. And there's no salvation in any other name except for the name of Jesus Christ. And I think to make people understand that, where salvation comes from, we have to be the example, and we have to lead by example. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that. Thank y'all for listening to me, and God bless each and every one of you.